Oh yeah, the truth will set you free. First it'll freak you out. Lately I've been finding it in words long written down. What we need now is all over.
I want to welcome everyone to Vaccine Free America with Sally L. Cordy. Although I am not Sally L. Cordy, I am Ingrid Castle. Sally L. Cordy is on vacation for this weekend, and I grabbed her show spot because I have a pretty special guest. I'm pretty excited. And I asked her if I could introduce him to her show and carry him over into my program. So, but I did want to mention that all the news right now is that Jeffrey Epstein is dead. And what happens now? Well, if you subscribe to John Rappaport's No More Fake News, he really says everything I would be saying about it. But we may discuss that slightly in the next hour when we do that on Immunize Wise. We're going to go into some politics that aren't necessarily vaccine related. So I want to make sure everyone knows how special our guest is, because he is an amazing independent journalist that has two hot button issues that are dear to my heart. His name is Jeremy Hammond, and he's an independent journalist and political analyst, publisher and editor of Foreign Policy Journal, as well as an author of several books, including Obstacle to Peace, The U.S. Role in the Israeli-Palestinian Conflict. He writes about numerous topics, including U.S. foreign policy, economics, and vaccines. And his work focuses on exposing state propaganda intended to keep people in servitude to the politically and financially powerful, and on illuminating the role of the mainstream corporate media in manufacturing consent for harmful government policies. You can stay up to date with his work by visiting his website and signing up for his newsletter at jeremyrhammond.com. You have to put an R in between Jeremy and Hammond, and it's hammond.com. And he also has the websites foreignpolicyjournal.com. And then his book is highlighted at obstacletopeace.com. And he has a couple ebooks that if you subscribe, you have access to them. I mean, his websites are very professional. His email alerts are amazing. He's extremely prolific. And I love his logical and independent way of thinking and how he counters the mainstream media catching him up in all kinds of propaganda. So without further ado, welcome to Vaccine Free America, Jeremy.
Thank you. I appreciate that introduction, and thanks for having me on.
Right. Well, how did you – I want to know particularly, and I think our listeners would be interested in how you got interested in the vaccine issue. I mean, certainly Middle Eastern politics are controversial enough. I mean, bringing up that Israel is – the aggressor and is really what has kept any peace from occurring in the Middle East. And I mean, highlighting Israel, that it's an ally allegedly of our country when really they've taken over. You know, that's certainly controversial, at least in the mainstream. But now you've taken on the vaccine issue, which certainly is at least as controversial, if not more so. So what got you interested in this issue?
Yeah, well, I've never shied away from controversial subjects. I kind of got started writing about 9/11 and then the Iraq War and then, you know, other Middle Eastern policies and focusing on the Israel-Palestine conflict. As far as the vaccine issue, first of all, can you hear me all right? Is my audio okay?
I can hear you fine. Okay, Ken, is his audio okay?
So, to answer that question, how I got started with the vaccine issue is in the year 2012, my wife became pregnant and we were expecting a son. And so, I began researching very heavily in the medical literature about vaccines because I knew we were going to be having to make some choices with respect to different vaccinations. And, you know, I had already kind of been aware of concerns about vaccines. I'd always kind of had a mild curiosity about it. I never really studied it in depth. I kind of paid attention to news about it and information about it. But obviously, you know, just knowing that I was going to become a father, I really began seriously studying it and just really deeply researching it, utilizing the skills I had already acquired as an independent journalist to look into this issue as a father, you know, preparing myself to make decisions about vaccinations. So that's mm-hmm. that's what it was.
Okay, can I have a quick question? Mm-hmm. Where was your wife in this issue? I mean, obviously she was wanting to research alongside you as a, you know, for most women, that's a pretty important as the mother of their firstborn, you know, that they want to protect them, you know. So where was she?
Oh, we're completely 100% together in our views on the subject. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I know a lot of parents have contradictory views, and you know, I hear stories all the time of you know, parents who have completely opposite views. There's court cases about it. You know, father wants to vaccinate the child, the mother doesn't, and there's court cases about it and stuff. But you know, in our case, we're completely totally in agreement.
Praise God for that! Really wonderful. Okay, go on. Sorry.
So yeah, that, I mean, that's how I got started researching the topic, and you know, just what really struck me was I as I said, I had already kind of had some awareness of concerns about vaccines and things, you know, probably much more than the average person. But you know, when I actually really started looking at the medical literature myself, which, by the way, just to start, like anyone can go to PubMed.gov, PubMed.gov. It's a government website. It's run by the National Institutes of Health. And search the medical literature. So that's a resource that's out there. And that's what I did. I just started going there and just like looking at, like, I wanted to know, what does the science say from, you know, I wanted to know for myself what the science actually says, as opposed to taking, you know, the government's word for it, or my doctor's word for it, or the mainstream media's word for it, because I had learned well enough from my past experiences not to trust those sources. And so I just looked into it for myself. And, you know, as prepared as I was to find a disparity, I was just blown away by the magnitude of the disparity, where what we're told that science says about vaccines and what the science actually says are two completely different and completely contradictory things. And that was just the conclusion that I arrived at pretty quickly. It didn't really take very long to get there, but just the more I've been doing this for years now, just like researching just constantly, and the more I dig, it's just it really never ceases to amaze me just how deep the disparity is between what people are told and you know are convinced and persuaded of, and what the reality is about what the science says. And you know, we're told that anyone who dares to question public vaccine policy, you know, they have this derogatory label, anti-vaxxer, and we all know that anti-vaxxers are completely, you know, they're loons. I mean, they have no ability to reason, and they're ignorant of the science, and they reject the science. And this is what we're told, you know, pretty much routinely. It's virtually obligatory for the mainstream media to treat, you know, anyone who dares dissent from public policy in this manner. This is really just a distraction, because they never address the real issues, and they use this argument that, well, anti-vaxxers are just, you know, they're ignorant of the science, to avoid having to discuss the science. And so there is no discussion about this issue in the mainstream media. There is no serious discussion about it, and I don't say that. I mean, that's not hyperbole when I say that. There is no serious discussion about the issue of vaccines in the mainstream discourse, period. And so I just...
Right, and I just have to interject. Let me just interject a little bit. Sure. You know, the fluoride issue was very similar. You know, they would set up these debates, and And the pro-fluoride people would never show up, so Paul Connett would just be, you know, literally giving a talk because there'd be empty seats. Well, they did the one conversation, I think, in Atlanta. I mean, several people have tried to debate these people, and we actually tried just locally setting up a legitimate debate, and that was way back in 2000. And then I publicized in the American Free Press, you know, looking for any pro-vaccine people that will debate us. And there's no takers because they do not have any science on their side. They refuse to debate the issue, and they make plenty of excuses.
Yeah, and in virtually every article you'll read about anything related to vaccines in the mainstream media, in the major corporate media, just they always repeat the exact same talking points. You know, we've all know about the 1998 Lancet study by, you know, co-authored by Andrew Wakefield that supposedly was fraudulent. You know, it's the same talking points over, and they just hammer the same points over and over again. They never they don't even scratch the surface in terms of what the science says. They won't even touch questions that parents are asking and, you know, facts that parents are aware of because they're doing their own research. And then they talk to parents who are choosing not to vaccinate their children strictly according to the CDC schedule. You know, they refer to parents who make this, you know, who would dare to dissent from public, vaccine policy as, you know, as the strict guidelines. You know, they treat these people as though they're just ignorant and unaware. But actually, these are the people who are doing their own research and thinking for themselves.
Right.
And in fact, studies show that, you know, they do studies, you know, to try to understand vaccine hesitancy. And that's what the studies show, is that parents who are choosing not to vaccinate their kids, not because, you know, they can't afford vaccines or they don't have access to health care or something. No, they're, you know, upper middle class. They're very highly educated, college educated. You know, these are the types of people making this decision. It's not because they're ignorant or unaware of what the science is, because they're researching for themselves and they're thinking for themselves and they're drawing their own conclusions instead of blindly trusting the government. and so that's the reality of the situation. Or it's because they did follow the schedule and they did vaccinate their kids and their kids were injured by the vaccine. And now that's why they won't vaccinate their kids again. You know, so that's the other kind of situation that's happening. And, you know, to call those people, you know, to call those parents specifically, you know, by some derogatory label and tell us that they're anti-science. I mean, it's just insulting and it's just so inappropriate. You know, and it kind of illustrates the lack of seriousness about this issue. And you know, it is a serious issue. And, you know, that you might have listeners who, you know, completely disagree what I've said so far. You know, who are just totally convinced that, you know, everyone should strictly follow public vaccine policy and vaccinate their kids according to the CDC schedule. And what I would like to say to those listeners, if they're out there, is, you know, just hear us out and let's have a discussion about what the science says, and you know, not just blindly trust the government because we're all told, you know, vaccines are safe and effective.
Yeah.
Vaccines are safe and effective, and it's this mantra. But
okay, Jeremy, listeners here are actually fairly aware. They're looking at tools that they can use, and I want people to know how to subscribe to your newsletter. I want to put out the website again, and I want to talk about some of the, like, the last two articles you wrote, just so they can get a good taste. It's Jeremy R. Hammond, HAMMOND.com. You can get a free vaccine report there. He's thinks very clearly, very, very logically, very organized. He has How to Immunize Yourself Against Vaccine Propaganda. But yeah, I thought this was alarming. The alarming results of a recent survey of 2,000 adults show that a majority of Americans refuse to recognize that vaccination entails risk of harm. Even they don't know about the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, which I'm part of the VAERS Awareness Project. And I, you know, it is shocking. That's just why we're, you know, trying to get this information out, that it is actually the law to report vaccine injuries, and they're very rarely reported or acknowledged as such. So he wrote this great article. The American Osteopathic Association, the end of July, published the results of this survey showing that misinformation about vaccines is so pervasive in the U.S. that more than half of the respondents didn't recognize that vaccination entails risk. Do you want to talk about that? I find it really incredible.
Yeah, well, it was interesting because, you know, of course, the way I found out about this survey was through some other article that had cited it in a way that was, you know, they tried to spin it their own way. And I don't remember what that article was, but I looked up the source, and, you know, that's what I do. I just always go to the source, and I just looked at the poll questions. And in one of the poll questions, it was asking people's opinions about vaccine safety, and in terms of the, you know, the pro-vaccine views, there was basically two options. One was, you know, that you believe that the benefits of vaccines outweigh the harms. And the other one was just that, you know, vaccines are safe and effective. You know, in other words, one acknowledged that, yes, vaccination is a medical intervention that entails risk. And the other one, it was just that he doesn't even acknowledge that vaccination entails risk. And so the majority actually chose that latter option, which was to deny that there was any risk at all. Not even to say that, you know, the risk, you know, obviously, some people believe that the risks of vaccines outweigh the potential benefits, but these people wouldn't even acknowledge the risk. They wouldn't say they believed that the benefits outweighed the risks. They wouldn't even acknowledge any risk at all. Basically, is the way we can logically interpret their responses to the question. And so, I just wrote a blog post about that poll. You know, just because it's just such a stark illustration of how effective the propaganda is, that we're supposed to believe that, you know, that vaccines are perfectly safe. And, you know, fair enough, a lot of articles do acknowledge risks, but they'll say it's like one in a million or something, or the only risk they'll acknowledge is, you know, like an allergic, you know, an anaphylactic shock, you know, type of response to a vaccination. So that, you know, in some marginal ways, they acknowledge certain risks. But I mean, I've read articles in the New York Times, in the Atlantic magazine, you know, in the mainstream media, and they talk about vaccines as though there's no risk, as though they are 100% safe, and that science has proven this. I mean, it's not serious. And so that was kind of the point of the article. It was just to show, like, this is how deluded the Americans are. This is how effective the propaganda is, that it has persuaded this many Americans that there's no risk at all, which is, you know, really frightening if we think about it.
It is. Well, I attribute a lot of that to the public school system, too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, because they're inundated with propaganda just in the curriculum, you know, because the curriculum is basically written by large corporations. So they infiltrate and make sure that, you know, the young people are brought up with this type of propaganda. So Good. I'm glad. I'm very into home birth, homeschool, you know, like take charge of your family. But I did want to mention the anti-vaxxer thing. I remember, you know, early on they started doing this, you know, what people thought a derogatory label. And I remember Sherry Tenpenny asking me, you know, oh, God, you know, how do I deal with this? I said, you just ignore it, you know. I mean, I was really pleased when Tim Boland came out with, of course I'm an anti-vaxxer. I still have a brain. You know? I mean, it's, you know, they're putting everyone that rejects one single vaccine as an anti-vaxxer. You know what? If you reject the flu shot every year because you had a bad reaction one year, then you're an anti-vaxxer. I mean, it's pretty ridiculous because anyone that rejects any single vaccine for any reason or wants to adjust the insane schedule that they have these kids, you know, what is it, 72, you know, injections by the time they reach, you know, first grade. I mean, it's just, and it keeps going up every year, you know, and that's the thing that's so insane. So, you know, I just, you know, say, do you want your kid to be a pincushion for Big Pharma? You need to be thinking independently. So we're coming up on a commercial break. Please stay tuned. You're listening to my guest, Jeremy Hamm. It's time we open up our eyes and our hearts. Little light shines so bright, there's no left here in the dark.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hi, this is Matt Ray for MySleepAllNight.com, and most of us don't even realize that almost all of the healing, learning, and rejuvenating that happens in our body happens only when we are deeply asleep. Now, if you have trouble falling asleep and staying asleep, it's likely you never consistently achieve that crucial level of deep sleep. Deep restorative sleep is the key to health, mood, productivity, longevity, memory, you name it. So many health benefits. To experience what deep sleep feels like, try the new dietary supplement Sleep All Night, formulated by scientist Kurt Hendricks. And sleep like your life depends on it, because let's be honest, it does. Head on over to MySleepAllNight.com. That's MySleepAllNight.com. Enter the promo code radio for 20% off your purchase. Again, head on over to MySleepAllNight.com. Enter the promo code radio. That's MySleepAllNight.com.
I think it's time we open up our eyes.
America. Sally Elcourty is on vacation, and I'm filling in for her. My name is Ingrid Castle, and I host the following show. And our guest is Jeremy Hammond, and we were talking about the survey that happened. Actually, the results were released at the last week in July, and a shocking, 55% of Americans were woefully uninformed about the risks of vaccines. And I personally find it pretty shocking, and you do too. And so you wrote about it, how a large majority, 82%, these are 2,000 adults, expressed being in favor of vaccines, but only 31% of those acknowledged that there were any risks associated with these pharmaceutical products. But, you know, always thinking the benefits outweigh the potential risks. And yet, you know, there's like the bell curve. I have an article posted in our Vaccination 101 course on our website, and that really says it all, because every vaccine causes some kind of reaction in the body, and what's under the curve, you know. So anaphylaxis at the very end, and redness and swelling is at the very beginning, but what's under the hump of the bell curve is what we're seeing today, is this chronic illness in children. You know, allergies and, you know, ADHD, autism spectrum disorders, you know, dyslexia, you name it. So anyway, I mean, it just defies logic that people aren't thinking more deeply and are so sucked into media propaganda that they don't think. I mean, they know that Vioxx was taken off the market, as well as many, many pharmaceutical drugs, but vaccines are liability free, and yet, you know, people don't think that they would be possibly dangerous. That is shocking to me, frankly.
Yeah, well, on one hand, we're told that, you know, by government public health officials that vaccines are safe and effective. And on the other hand, the government administrates what's called the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, which was established under a 1986 law that granted near total legal immunity to the pharmaceutical industry for vaccine products that the CDC recommends routinely for children. And this Vaccine Injury Compensation Program effectively shifts the financial burden for vaccine injuries away from the pharmaceutical industry and onto the taxpaying consumers. It's funded by an excise tax on each vaccine dose given. And so there's this contradiction, you know, there's this schizophrenia, really, cognitive dissonance in policy. And, you know, a lot of parents are aware of this. Probably most Americans have never even heard of the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program because the mainstream media almost never mentions it. Parents might know because it is mentioned on the vaccine information sheets that the pediatricians give them from the CDC's office. But, you know, it's really not something that's publicized much. The media don't talk about it. But yeah, that's just an acknowledged fact that vaccines injure some children. And one of the problems is that we don't know which children those might be because there's different genetic and environmental susceptibilities. And this is one of the fundamental problems with public vaccine policy, is that it treats vaccination as a one-size-fits-all policy when, you know, mm-hmm. not every child has the same risk of number one, of you know, the harm from the virus or bacteria. And number two, not every child is at the same risk of harm from the vaccine. And so, you know, essentially public vaccine policy plays Russian roulette with our children. And this is a problem, and it needs to be addressed.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there, speaking to the choir for me. But, as you know, I've been doing this for all my life. So it's just, I'm shocked. We're one of the few voices that were fighting against the 1986 Act way back in the day. And, Barbara Lowe Fisher received numerous letters, you know, freaking out that she was behind such a horrible policy that was opening up a Pandora's box. And we've seen, you know, the schedule increase ever since. Because, you know, you have 100% pure profit business, you know, with NIH doing their development, you know, research and development, and then you have the FDA doing blanket approvals, the Health and Human Services guaranteeing large purchases, and the CDC being their publicity arm. So
and distribution just, arm.
And distribution, all of it, yep. You got it. So it is really shocking. You know, and so they literally have a license to produce vaccines that can cause death and permanent injury, and that was proven in Bruce Wiss versus Wyeth, but you're familiar with all that. So, but I want to go into what you've written, and that's the most important thing, because I want people to understand the depth of your research. You did a four-part, so far it's four parts, just detailing the flu vaccine, influenza and the flu vaccine, and it's literally quite amazing. Oh my gosh, are we hitting a commercial break already? Okay, stay tuned. We're listening to a commercial break. Sorry.
I think it's time we open up our eyes and our hearts. Let a light shine so bright.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it.
Vaccine Free America, and I'm Ingrid Castle, filling in for your normal host, Sally L. Cordy, and my guest, Jeremy Hammond. He has written prolifically on the vaccine issue as well as Middle Eastern politics, and we're focusing on the vaccine issue during this hour. And I wanted to highlight that Jeremy has written this four-part series. It's four parts now. I don't know if he's going to do a fifth part. I mean, I don't see how he can cover much else because there is so extensive the detail. It's enough for a good sized book, actually. I don't know if you figured out how much there is in there, but it's four parts just detailing the flu vaccine. And just anyone that reads it would never get near a flu vaccine. But he's done the research, the independent research, and that's what's important. Do you want to share a little bit about that, some of the highlights of what you discovered or what you feel like or, you know, people need to hear about the flu vaccine?
Yeah, sure. There is a fifth and final part forthcoming, and that it's just going to kind of cover, how the flu is essentially a disease of vitamin D deficiency, and it's going to talk about ways that, because we're all told that, the flu shot, the CDC claims that the flu shot is, quote unquote, the best way to protect from the flu. And there's absolutely no scientific evidence to support that statement. And so that's what the fifth and final part is going to be about. But yeah, what really kicked off the series was I read an article last in 2018, at the end of the flu season of the 2017-2018 flu season, in the New York Times, written by Aaron Carroll. And the whole article was just essentially to persuade people to follow the CDC's recommendation and go out and get your flu shot. And what really struck me was that he was citing certain sources from the medical literature that completely contradicted what he was saying. And so I wrote the first installment of the series to really just in depth demonstrate how, with this as a case study, how the media blatantly lie about what the science says. And this was just this proved to be a useful case study with respect to the flu shot. And so I just went through the New York Times article and I showed what they claimed that the science said. For example, he cited a Cochrane review. The Cochrane Collaboration is a prestigious international organization that specializes with a type of study called a meta-analysis or a literature review. And so they go through, essentially they do a search of medical literature and find all the relevant studies on a particular topic and, you know, try to look at take a broad approach to that conglomerate data to make judgments about what the science says. And so, you know, the Cochrane Collaboration had done a meta-analysis on the influenza vaccine, and this New York Times article cited it to say that, you know, that science has shown that the study showed that the flu shot confers a great public health benefit, which was completely false. In fact, that same study actually went so far in its criticism of the CDC as to accuse the CDC of deliberately misrepresenting the science to support its policy, which the same review showed was unsupported by the available evidence. And in fact, their conclusion is precisely that the evidence doesn't support the policy. And so just the way that the media blatantly lie about what the science says, and this is routine. This wasn't something where, you know, this example of deception from the New York Times was kind of out of the ordinary. It wasn't an outlier. This is just standard and routine. But I just wanted to show that in the first installment of the series. It's just like, this is how you're being lied to. And then the second installment goes into more depth about how when the media lie to the public about what the science says about vaccines, they're really just following the CDC's example. And so the second installment goes into examples of how the CDC uses fear and deception to sell more flu vaccines. And that's the title of the piece, How the CDC Uses Fear and Deception to Sell More Flu Vaccines. And it goes into examples, you know, just documenting blatant, deceptions and misinformation straight from the CDC. And then the third installment, I took a deeper, you know, diving even deeper into the question of safety. I looked at it. The CDC also recommends the influenza vaccine for pregnant women. And so that's the fourth installment. The fourth installment really dove deep into the question of pregnancy. That's the most recently published installment, and showing how even though the CDC claims that science has demonstrated the safety of vaccinating pregnant women, in fact, there is no that science has never been done. And they cite, you know, that there never were any randomized placebo controlled trials, clinical trials. In fact, pregnant women are excluded from clinical trials because it's considered unethical to include them in clinical trials. And yet they have no problem recommending the flu shot for pregnant women, which essentially, you know, they're effectively treating that entire population as the subjects of a mass uncontrolled experiment without their informed consent. And we're told,
Jeremy?
The flu shot. Yes.
I just wanted to mention, I remember coming back from a trip from Oregon with Don, my husband at the time. We're talking like, must have been 13 years ago. Anyway, I had printed out the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, you know, with Jane Orient. Anyway, they had an article, and I think it was, gosh, who was it? It might have even Neil Z. Miller or Gary Goldman. Anyway, they actually had some kind of a study about issuing vaccines during pregnancy in humans. The results were shocking. And maybe it was a small study, but it was something. And it seems to have disappeared. But it was way back then, because the writing was kind of coming up on the wall that they were going to push this. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to, dig in the literature and show why we don't ever vaccinate pregnant women. And I just remember reading it with my jaw dropping, just how horrifying it was. And that was back in the day. And I don't have it in front of me. It just was indelibly imprinted in my mind. So they've known mm-hmm. this stuff, I believe, and it's just suppressed.
Well, the CDC on its website claims, they say that the flu shot is safe for pregnant women, and that this has been scientifically demonstrated, and they cite studies.
Right.
But if you go and you read those studies do not support the safety of the flu shot during pregnancy. They do not.
And it's not that. In the package insert. The package insert warns that, yeah. There's yeah, no yes. On carcinogenicity, on pregnancy, that it's not recommended, and that there's no studies they claim
right,
in the package
right, no.
inserts.
If the CD, right. if the vaccine manufacturers themselves made the claim that the CDC makes publicly about the flu shot being, demonstrated safe for pregnant women, they could be sued for fraud. And that's why they say, right in their own package inserts, that, the safety and effectiveness of the flu shot for pregnant women hasn't been studied. Those studies, have not been done. I mean, they say that right in their own package inserts. Mm-hmm. And so, there's a reason for that, because by law, they're required to provide, get the exact terminology, but, they're adequate warnings, I think is the exact phrase. And they're required to provide adequate mm-hmm. warnings. And so they say right in there, it hasn't been demonstrated to be safe for pregnant women. The CDC tells the public the exact opposite, that it has been demonstrated safe. The CDC right. is lying. And so that's really what I really document in extensive, extensive detail. And I go through every single one of the studies that the CDC cites on its website to say this. And I show how that's false, that those studies do not support. In fact, if you actually look at those studies and their methodologies and their conclusions, The conclusion we have to draw is that, number one, the vaccine adverse event reporting system is completely inadequate, because this is the post-marketing surveillance system that's used to try to detect vaccine harms, and it's completely inadequate, and it's certainly no substitute for randomized controlled trials. And it's known that, you mentioned earlier that vaccine adverse events are severely underreported. So that's one of the conclusions we can draw from the studies that the CDC cites to support its claims about, flu shot safety. And then another conclusion that we can draw is that randomized controlled trials are necessary in order to establish the safety. In fact, the CDC's own research in the CDC's own cited studies say right in there that, we don't really know what the rate of, for example, birth defects or miscarriages are after vaccination, because we don't have the data, and you can't get that data from VAERS. And so they say right in their own study that we need randomized controlled trials. And then, of course, they say, well, it would be unethical to do that in the United States. But illustrating that that's not a problem of ethics, it's a problem of politics, they then go on to say, but we could do it in the country in Africa or something, someplace. It'd be fine to experiment on those women.
Exactly.
So,
I do want to mention VAERS. When Jeremy says VAERS, we're talking about the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. That's just code word for that. So VAERS is the acronym for that. Mm-hmm. When we say VAERS, that's what we're referring to, and that's actually a government program, and it is required by law to report injuries, but it's a passive. I mean, while they say it's required, it's not required like, you need vaccines to go to school, and there's maybe some exemptions if you find out about them. There's many doctors that have never reported a vaccine injury, mm-hmm. and they're certainly not being, raked over the coals or losing their license or anything. So you know, that's the way I would check out any doctor that you go to. Have you ever reported to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System? So that's, you know, I'm highlighting again the vaccine or the VAERS Awareness Project for the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. You can go to the cdc.gov website and put in that or VAERS for that term, and you'll get all kinds of information. But we estimate that less than 1 in 1,000, some people say 1 in 100, but you'll find, you know, nurses that work at hospitals, and you'll find that they never report. They see it in the emergency room all the time. You know, kids that are reacting after a slew of vaccines, and yet they're not reporting these injuries. Mm-hmm. It's just not happening. So it's really sad. It's pretty much up to the parents to know to report. And that's what's even sadder is I've talked to many people, and I'm sure, Jeremy, you have too, talked to many parents, and they have vaccine-injured children, and you ask them the one question, did you report the injury? And they invariably say no, and their doctor didn't either. Is that true? Do you find that true?
I haven't had that specific discussion with too many people, but yeah, you know, that we know that to be true. I mean, we know. I mean, studies have shown that the, you know, there are studies that have, you know, looked at the question of what is the rate of reporting. You know, how accurate is that? Like, what percentage of actual adverse events are actually being reported? And you know, there's a range of estimates, and it varies on based on the severity of the adverse event. So, you know, very severe adverse events are more likely to be reported if they're temporarily associated with vaccination, you know, as opposed to less severe events. But, you know, I've seen studies saying that, you know, the rate is as low as 1%. You know, 1% of adverse reactions are being reported. And
well,
so
we had this discussion on the forum you and I are both on. And, you know, we find it's much more than 1 in 1,000, you know, and like I said, I've asked people repeatedly, anytime I hear of a vaccine injury, I always ask, was this reported? And I have not found anyone that's reported, even my close friend whose grandson died from the shots soon after he was born. Anyway, it's a whole thing. It was never reported by the doctors or them. And yeah, you can report yourself. So this is how they boost the confidence in vaccines by saying these injuries are very rare. They base it on the few people that are compensated. And by the way, if you get full compensation through the vaccine vaccine injury compensation program, you often have to sign a gag order. I know many people that have had to sign a gag order, and they wanted to talk to me, and then their phone was tapped, and they were basically threatened. This has happened over the years. I'm just telling you, you know, if you get the full amount, you sign a gag order often.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the ways that the government can, you know, they can settle the case rather than, you know, rather than acknowledging the vaccine caused injury.
Right.
And so they can settle the case, in which case it kind of becomes the information. They disclose the case, and it becomes kind of secret in terms of what the final arrangement was. So they don't, you know, and the whole, you know, sometimes it's called a vaccine court. It's not a court. I mean, there's a special master's proceedings. There's right. No discovery. There's no jury. I mean, it's not. It's a substitute for a court, is what it is. Mm. And it's a substitute for justice because it's not justice. It's like I mentioned earlier. I mean, effectively, what the purpose is and the effect of it is that it shifts the financial burden for vaccine injuries to the taxpaying consumers, so that and that was done essentially to rescue the vaccine industry, because there were, you know, they were facing lawsuits back in the 1980s for vaccines like the DTP vaccine, the diphtheria, tetanus, and whole cell pertussis vaccine, which studies now have shown are associated with an increased rate of childhood mortality. And the assumption, of course, was always that, you know, we'll give this vaccine to kids and they won't get diphtheria, tetanus, or pertussis, and therefore, because they won't get those diseases, their mortality rate will go down. But that's not what actually happens according to scientific studies. what actually happens is that somehow that, you know, there's an opportunity cost associated with the vaccination, and the vaccine actually seems to weaken children's immune system, that they become more susceptible for other diseases. So even though they're not, they might not be dying from those specific target pathogens at the same rate, they're dying from other things at a greater rate as a consequence.
That's right.
This is the same thing with the flu shot.
Jeremy, we're actually going to come up on a commercial break, and I, you know, you wrote an article that you sent out today, and I want to end the program with that, if that's okay. So I want everyone to know you're listening to Jeremy Hammond. He's talking about his great work uncovering all the BS from the mainstream media on vaccines. He's done his research, and you can find him at jeremyrhammond.com. And here's the commercial. Please stay tuned for the end of the hour.
Let a light shine so bright. There's no left here in the dark.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I think it's time we open up our eyes and our hearts.
Hey, welcome back to the last segment of Vaccine Free America. I'm filling in for Sally Alcordi and our guest, Jeremy Hammond. I will be carrying him through to the next hour, and then afterwards we will take callers. I wanted to highlight that he does need support as an independent journalist. I am a subscriber. I donate, I mean, it might be $5 or $10 every month, but, you know, it's an automatic donate, and it's just like I do for RBN. I mean, I consider each of these causes important, equally actually, for me, because I support Jeremy Hammond's, both his causes, and I support all of RBN's causes, so they get the same amount from me, even though I live on probably less money than anyone out there that I know of. You know, to qualify even for food stamps would not take them. You know, I'm very frugal, so what can I say? But I do support causes in whatever way I can, and I would encourage you to go to foreignpolicyjournal.com, donate, you know, get on his email list, or jeremyrhammond.com, and get his vaccine information. So without further ado, I want to mention that he posted today about his response to pro-vaxxers after David Isaacs in Australia did a post August 8th, how to respond to anti-vaxxers. And just real quick, he said, my response to anti-vaxxers is to try to understand their worldview. Really? I mean, there's nothing in the article that shows that he was trying to understand their worldview at all. He was just trying to jam his worldview down their throats without clearly listening. And this is what we've seen over and over again. So do you want to talk about your response a bit?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's exactly the point that I made. I mean, you just nailed it. That, you know, here he is, he's saying, you know, my approach is to try to understand where they're coming from. But it's like he evidently made zero effort to actually try to understand the perspective of people, of parents who are choosing not to strictly comply with, you know, he's speaking in terms of Australian policy. But, you know, the idea is the same, that anyone who dares to defy or dissent from public vaccine policy, you know, is making a mistake. He says that in the article, that they're making a mistake by not choosing not to vaccinate with whichever vaccine, you know, whichever dose. And so I just go through his kind of his arguments and, you know, in kind of as brief a way as I can. It's not necessarily the shortest post, but it's short for me. I usually write really long, lengthy essays with, you know, footnoted and stuff. But anyhow, it was kind of a quicker post that I just wrote this morning. I just kind of was compelled to respond to this. And I just went through and showed how his arguments are just demonstrate that he's never taken the time to try to understand why parents choose not to vaccinate, because he just repeats the same standard propaganda talking points that any parent who's choosing not to vaccinate their kid is already familiar with, you know, and is taken into consideration. Right. And process that knowledge and taking that knowledge into consideration in making their different judgment. And so, you know, and to be specific about what he was saying, you know, he just made this simplistic, you know, risk benefit analysis with respect to encephalitis, which, you know, is brain inflammation. And he was saying that, you know, measles causes encephalitis in 1 in 1,000 cases, whereas the vaccine causes encephalitis in only 1 in 1,000,000 cases.
Right. Okay, we're coming to the end of the program, and this is a great propaganda point. We'll probably carry that little point into the next hour. So please stay tuned. We're finishing up Vaccine Free America and going to go right into Immunize Wisely with the same wonderful guest, Jeremy Hammond.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.